The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Before Christmas on the programme, we did a lengthy piece on the ubiquity of advertising for gambling across television, radio. It's everywhere these days. It's so in your face that you've been asked to gamble on the outcome of nearly any sporting event, and not just the outcome, but what goes on during the game as well. As it happens, David Conn wrote a piece for The Guardian today about a study which has been conducted into the way in which people now watch sport on television and how it's linked to advertising in a younger generation. It's fascinating stuff. David, thank you very much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about this research which has been made available to you.
Yeah, so it's research by an academic, Dr. Dara McGee of the University of Bath. And what he's done is he's looked at this new era of gambling, particularly online gambling, with all the advertising and marketing that you just talked about there. And I think he himself was quite shocked by his findings that, yes, this generation who have grown up with all of this being so normal and so available and immediate on their phones, basically, and being urged to bet all the time, like you say, in play during matches, that they do wholly associate watching football with gambling on it.
Which is desperately sad because the enjoyment that we take out of watching sport, watching whatever sport it might be, to think that you can only get the enjoyment because you're having a bet, and also that you're betting on things as ridiculous as how many corners there are going to be in the game, who puts the ball into touch first.
I know. It's, you know, to the generation that was thankfully blessed with being free of it, it is tremendously sad. And like the first conversation I had with Dara McGee about it, I said to him that one of my hobby horses is the slogan of Sky Bet here, which is, it means more when there's money on it. And that's always really, really irritated me because, like you were just saying, you know, the enjoyment we have, sport is absolutely in our hearts. And for me, it cheapens it to say, oh, well, it only matters if there's money on it. But Dara said to me, yeah, but that's because you're of the older generation now. And he said, for the younger generation, they've won. The betting companies have won. These young guys absolutely believe that it means more when there's money on it. In fact, it only really means anything when there's money on it to some of them. It doesn't mean anything. They can't watch a match because it's meaningless. They can't watch a match unless they've got money on it. And they grew up absolutely loving football, just like, you know, just like we all did. But they've been exploited, and they've been captured by the betting companies in this new era of advertising, of unrestricted, of deregulation, and of it all being online and so immediately accessible.
I'm just going to take an example of just, say, a football match on the television tonight. Leeds are playing Derby in the Championship tonight. You will see slogans for gambling on the shirts of the Leeds team. You will see all around the perimeter of the ground advertising going on a regular basis. Before the game starts, at halftime, you will see multitude of gambling advertisements encouraging people. And of course, in the previous generation, you had to go to the bookie shop to place a bet. Now you can bet on what time the next goal will come at, thanks to the use of your mobile phone.
Yeah, and I will add to that when the players and managers are interviewed afterwards, they'll have all the sponsors' logos behind them, and there will be probably a number of betting companies on those billboards, behind them. That the billboards, that's during the matches, so while the match is being broadcast. So the adverts at half time, that might be 1 minute, that advert. But while the match is being played for 90 minutes, a good proportion of that time you will see Bet365 or whoever it is on the billboard. And I mean, I've become very conscious of this because of, you know, doing this journalism and understanding this study and finding just how effective this has all been. And I sort of watch this. And if you just think about the size of a billboard on the screen, you know, it can be taking up a quarter or a fifth of the screen. And then there was a game like at Molyneux, they've got double banks of billboards, so it's taking up a double amount of space on the screen. And when they have a throw-in and they've got a close-up of the player, he's got a billboard right behind him, and it pretty much takes up the whole screen. It's just, like you said, ubiquitous.
And of course, the likes of Match of the Day on BBC. BBC does not carry advertising except when it shows the matches. It actually ends up showing the advertising, which is around the hoardings around the ground. Now, I'm interested in this study as well because this academic, Darragh McGee, he spent time in Bristol in England, but he also spent time in Derry with football supporters aged 18 to 35. And he effectively logged and recorded all their gambling habits. And some of the people that he spoke to, particularly in Derry, got into quite a lot of financial difficulty and almost headed to crime as a result of their gambling addictions. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he's from Derry. And in fact, he played for Derry City. And you know, he started off just wanting, as I say, to document online gambling. And the study, and you know, just what it, you know, what it's like. I mean, I think he was, as I say, shocked himself by what he found. And it was funded. His research was funded by the British Academy, so not by the gambling industry itself, which actually funds its, you know, itself funds a lot of research, which is quite an issue in itself. And he ended up spending 2 years with these two groups of young guys, 18 to 35, in Bristol and Derry. And he said it took that long for some of them to really come clean to him, to really open up, to really admit to the scale of their gambling. And they started talking about the buzz of it. I mean, they said themselves how addictive it is. It's not him trying to, you know, label it with addictiveness. And they ended up telling him that once they stopped talking about the buzz of it, they ended up admitting to they've got 40 different accounts with 40 different betting companies. They've had horrendous financial problems. They've got payday loans there. They've got debts up to their eyeballs. They've had relationship breakdowns. I mean, one of them, which I thought was really sad, told Darragh McGee that he's got horrendous regrets about neglecting his own daughter, because when he used to have to look after her, he'd just stick her in front of the telly and be gambling all day, you know, because he was hooked on it. One of them told him that he'd ended up doing some drug dealing to try and sort of chase losses. And you know, Derry does have a very high suicide rate amongst young men. And one of them said that somebody he knew had killed himself. And it was directly attributed to gambling debt.
David, I just want to finish.
Yep. What's the point of it all? What's the point of tolerating some damage on this scale?
David, there's one thing I want to finish with, though, because I know what's going to happen. There are going to be people who are texting into 087-4100-102 saying that, you know, that's a small minority that this happens with, that the majority of people who gamble do so responsibly, do so in small amounts. It just adds a little bit to their enjoyment of the game, and that we're killjoys in the same way that people give out about excessive drinking when the vast majority of people drink only to reasonable amounts. What do you say to them?
I would say that I can sympathise with that view. I don't know enough about it. I don't know how much people do really gamble responsibly. I don't think there really is enough research. So one of the pieces, the second piece that I've written today, is about the fact that in the UK, they say that there are only the official research says there's only 340,000 problem gamblers, which is only 0.7% of the adult population, 1.2% of the people who gamble. I've always found that an incredibly difficult figure to believe. And I also think that problem, like the extent to which it's a problem, is too narrowly defined, right? But when I actually looked into it, just for writing this piece, you find that that figure is based on people answering a health survey, right, which literally says to them, basically, have you got a gambling problem? And even in the research itself that the government relies on, there's a disclaimer which says, people are likely to give potentially dishonest answers to this because gambling is a sensitive issue and people don't like admitting to it. And so I think that the number of problem gamblers is significantly underestimated. And I also think that the definition of what a problem gambler is also underestimated.
All right, we have to leave it there. David Kahn, thank you. It's a fascinating piece in the Guardian newspaper based on this study by the Irish academic Dr. Darragh McGee from the University of Bath.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.